So, Shirley, Sylvia, Shirley, come here. So, you remember she made me the other scarf, and it was so pretty, and I was freezing, and I'm cold all the time, and I walked in, and it was already there, and so Pastor said, well, what other color would you like? And I said, red. And look, and see, and I didn't see, look, it's matching. And I don't know, this one's scratchy, but can we make a trade? This is like a super favorite of mine because you can wrap it and wrap it and wrap it around. So let's make a trade. So I traded a favorite for awesome blessing. So now I have lots of new favorites. I make it look good. Well, you did it good. Thank you. So I was in the hotel coming late as usual. Yes, I said late as usual, but see, sometimes when you have a lot in there, it just takes a while to figure out what to do with it. So I got to the privilege of meeting these precious pastors, and precious Christine, whom I've just met, said she was so excited to be here because she came to Tulsa once and watched me come flying into the studio, whew, she said, with the wind blowing through my hair. And I'm like, and that's normal. So I thought I would tell you that normal for me might not be normal for everybody else. So if your normal isn't everybody else's normal, don't worry about it. So that story is, come here a minute. You can just figure the story when I do this. No, come here. So see, first of all, he's a foot taller than I am. And we were telling the story that my whole life, I have a tall family. And I have one granny that was, she claimed 4'10", but if she was 4'10", I'll eat my hat. But not my scarf. It's too cool. So my brother was always, I'd be in the bed, and he had me hold the bedpost. He'd come in, and I'd hold the bedpost of my twin bed, and he would take a hold of my feet and stretch me. If he didn't think where I'd be, right? So Richard goes to bed with his hair, and he wakes up with his hair. He goes to bed in a suit without wrinkles. And he wakes up like this. The man doesn't wrinkle. And I could find new ways. He told me one time, there's two kinds of dirt that attract to you, Lindsay. There's the white dirt that sticks on your black clothes, and there's the black dirt that sticks on your white clothes, and it's always somewhere. So it's so true. Now you can sit back down and be nice to me. So one day I decided, pride goeth before a fall, right? So I decided that I can be like him. How hard can it be? I mean, how hard can it be to lay your blue suit out the night before, and I put my blue slip, and I put my blue skirt, and I put pantyhose, that's an agent of the devil if ever there was one, and I put... All you men rolling your eyes, dare ya. So you too. So I got up early for me, which is 7 minutes before I'm supposed to walk out the door. And I go racing out the door, and I just thought, I'm going to fix him. And he goes in early because he would have music rehearsal. And so we're on live television, and when they count down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, it doesn't matter where you are, the camera rolls and you're on live. So I was coming in my usual 3 seconds before airtime, but I had on my little blue skirt, and I had on my little blue jacket and my little blue skirt. No. I had on my little blue jacket and my little blue slip. The colors were so close. And my shoes and my pantyhose and everything else. And I came flying in, and I could hear him going 10, 9, and I'm like, And I wanted Richard to say, why, Lindsay? And instead, we had a lady there that helped us get on the air, and she was going, Lindsay, Lindsay. And I thought, I'm going to get double compliment today. And I'm like, yes? She said, Lindsay, you can't go like that. And I thought, you have no idea. I stayed up all night getting to where I could go like this. She said, you can't go on the air like that. I said, it's shocking, isn't it? She said, Lindsay, you're in your slip. And I was like this close. She grabbed my arm and pulled me off the set, saving me from national humiliation. So yes, me going with the wind whipping through my hair was a normal phenomenon in my household. Everybody say, oh my word. Well, that's the title of my message, oh my word. And as we all have been talking about our 5,000 words that men have and 20,000 words that women have, and as Richard says, Lindsay talks with gusts up to 30,000, yes, because we have to be careful that God's given us that precious commodity called words, but we have to be very careful how we spend them. If money is the medium of exchange for goods and services, if in God's kingdom, words are the creative power to attach to your faith, to achieve what you've been believing for, how are you spending your words? And I began to think about that, and I read a scripture about you saying your words, and I was up preaching about it, and I slipped, and I said, you spray your words. And I said, I mean, you say your words. And I went, no, wait a minute. I said that right. We spray our words into the atmosphere. I had a lady, I don't wear perfume very often because sometimes it makes me sneeze. And so I there was one particular kind of perfume I liked to wear. It was called Belle of Versailles. They very rarely make it anymore. It's like ancient. And sometimes you can get it like discount places and things like that. Well, I saw it in this store, so I was going to go get it. And the lady said, do you know how to properly apply your perfume? And I said, based on the way you're asking the question, you're telling me the answer you already know is no, I don't. She said, let me show you. You don't blob it here and blob it here. Because people, if you're walking like this, aren't going to get down on their hands and knees and smell your rest. I said, I never thought of that. She said, you spray it and you walk in it. And then as you walk in it, it covers you, and everywhere you go, whether it's the back of your hair, the front of your head, whether it's your clothing, you walk in it all day long. And as we spray our words, the Ruach wind of God, and we walk in it, we walk in those words all day long. And what are you wearing in your words all day long that you wonder, why did that happen? Well, because you see, you're a self-fulfilling prophecy that you said it an hour and a half early, and you're still walking in the spray of your words. So, I was listening to a quote about a television program, and it was this guy that was a reporter, and he wanted to get a really ugly story about a really nice person. And he said to his editor, I'm not sure I know how to get the story. He said, here's how you do it. When you meet her, treat her like a lady. When you write about her, forget she has a mother. We have seen words, fake news, shake and bake news. Oh my God, what news was that? This news, that news. And we get news that begins to spray our atmosphere. Good news, bad news, mama news, papa news. Everybody knew, somebody who knew. But, you know, when you're sitting there and you read it, I once read an article about me, and I was going, and I didn't know it was about me. And I started reading, I'm like, oh my word. Oh, this person. Then it had my name in it. And I said, this was so foreign to who I am that I didn't even know it was about me. And I tell you, our words formulate opinions. Those opinions go and wound into your soul. And if you're not careful to bless the Lord, oh my soul, those words, the Bible says, take permanent residence. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And if you're not blessing the Lord with your soul and there's a hole in your soul, then you've got to be careful to fill that, cover it with the balm of Gilead, and most of all, to get rid of those words through prayer, through fasting, through whatever it is God tells you to do. But when you put on the armor of God, we put on the armor of God daily. When you put on the armor of God, one of them says to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, right? Do you know there's a translation about that that says to quench the poisoned tipped words of the wicked one? If Satan can't wipe you out, he will wipe you over with words, and those words get into your mind. They formulate thoughts. Those thoughts formulate actions. You're a self-fulfilling prophecy, and Satan doesn't have to do anything. You defeat yourself. So I want to talk about words that become thoughts and thoughts that become actions. Words become thoughts. Thoughts become actions. That's scriptural. You hide God's word in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and then you walk it out. They that love it eat the fruit thereof. So do you remember the Bee Gees and the Bee Gees song Words? So somehow I had it in my head, and I couldn't get past it in my head, and I went and looked it up. Talk in everlasting words and dedicate them all to me. Does that not sound spiritual? And I will give you all my life. I'm here if you should ever call to me. It's only words, but words are all I have to take your heart away. If we're not careful with our words and where we spend our words and where we spray our words and where we say our words, we may think that we made a flippant statement to somebody and that statement didn't mean anything to them, and they go home and grieve for 40 years. Our words are very carefully formulated in the Bible. We're to quote God's word, say God's word, believe God's word. And I tell you, I couldn't find notes today. It was in a document that I couldn't get to print. And when I couldn't get it to print it, I emailed a friend of mine, and he tried to get it to Richard. And Richard was trying to print it today, and he said, I've got a new title for Lindsay. And I thought, okay, that's good. And you remember the old movie 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? He said, she needs to call her message 20,000 Words Under the Sea. I got news for you. I got many, 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 many more. Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his own heart, a person changed against his will is of the same opinion still. A person changed against his will is of the same opinion still. You can try and jam the word of God down somebody's throat, but until they receive it in their heart, you are literally vaporizing your words. And sometimes we spend the best words on the worst people or the worst words on the best people, and we have to ask God, what's the difference? We've got to be so careful how we spend our words. If they are a commodity, a viable, valuable commodity, I want to tell you today, be careful to watch your words. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as. Now, we've already said this. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If I said that to you, what word would you grab out of that? Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Shout back at me what word you picked out of that. Okay, somebody got prosper. What else? Mostly prosper, right? I want to talk today not about prosper, but about even as. Because what those two words mean is it's a direct proportional relationship. So if prosper and be in health, you want it here, it's even as your soul prospers. So if your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts, your intellect is up here, prosper and be in health, handy dandy, it's right there. But if prosper and be in health wants to be up here, but your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, even as, is down in the basement, don't expect to be prosper and be in health, because it's like a string that's intricately tied together. Prosper and be in health goes at the same direct proportional rate as your soul prospers. How do you get your soul to prosper? Get in the Word of God, digest it, eat it, and spit it out. As you put the Word of God in you, it becomes words coming out of you. You can either speak word vomit, or you can speak God's Word that will formulate life and life more abundantly. I want you to look at something and think about this. I was listening to a story about a man talking about, well, under the circumstances, and it went wrong with me. And he kept saying, well, under the circumstances, he's using the under the circumstances as his excuse for not correcting his behavior. And I finally said, well, under the circumstances, what are you doing under there? God called you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and we're under the circumstances. Hello, circumstances. I'm looking up at my debt, at defeat, at sickness. What are you doing? Yeah. You're upside down. And what was I saying all week? You're looking from the outside in when you should be living from the inside out. There's a story of a young man that was fishing. And he loved to fish, but he couldn't swim. So he would stay here, and the water was over there. And he couldn't swim, so he knew his limitations. But the fish were biting further out, so he'd do this and do this, slow, paying no attention to what he's doing. Sometimes Satan allows us to take baby steps, and we don't realize how far from the shore we are. And here he goes, fishing, paying no attention, and he fell in. And he's under the water, about to drown, flailing his arms, screaming and hollering, and about to go under when a guy jumps in, and he pulls him out, and he says to him, "How'd you come to fall in?" He said, "I didn't come to fall in. I came to fish. I just fell in along the way." Sometimes when we leave the protection of the shore of the Word of God and we inch our way into the deep end when we can't swim and have not been called there and we come to fall in, don't be expecting somebody to be there to pull you out every time, because Jesus said you walk on water, you're not to come to fall in. But unless we have that walk on water mentality, walk on water faith, don't get near the water. Simple as that. If words are all we have to take our breath away, the Word of God, I tell you, I listened to that song, and all I could think of was the spiritual aspect of, if that's what they believe in the natural, how much more should I believe in the Word of God? I want to talk to you today about the spit, the mud, and the miracle. The spit, the mud, and the miracle. A lot of times we're throwing a lot of mud, but not so many miracles. But if you think about the spit, the mud, and the miracle, I want you to think about the story when Jesus comes and spits in a man's eyes. Now, if we were listening to the Jericho Inquirer, the headline would read, "Jesus, the Son of God, spits in a guy's eyes." Or, if you were reading it in the Word of God, Jesus spit on the ground, took the spit, made it into mud, put it on the man's eyes, told him to wash, and once I was blind, but now I see. It all depends on your perspective. Why do we go to Goliath for advice on David's ministry? Goliath sees it from a totally different point of view. Turn that stuff off. Turn the Word of God on, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, get some discernment, and stand up to the Word of God and say, you know, I'm not going to not only listen to that, I'm not going to spread that stuff around. Why did Jesus spit? Deoxyribonucleic acid, what is that? It, DNA. If you spit, your DNA can connect you with family members. Hold that right there. Your DNA can tell male or female. Your DNA can tell a region where you were born. Your DNA can tell a lot of things. And the DNA can stretch like how many gadillion times to the moon and back with the very DNA that you contain within. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're made in the image of God. And now you do all things through Christ because he went to the cross and he exchanged his life for your life. Get a life. Get his life that he laid down for you. So when you have all that happening and you're totally dependent on yourself, switch bosses, because the one who can spit on the ground and turn it into a miracle has the DNA of God himself. And then we are of God, little children. Why did he spit in the earth? You're made from the dirt in the ground. You're made from the dust of the earth. So he took his DNA and he infused it into our DNA. And when our DNA meets his DNA, the spit and the mud made a miracle. Too many times we're spitting, but we got the wrong DNA. Too many times we're crawling in the mud, but we don't have the right DNA to infuse. When we ingest the spit with the mud and allow God to slap it into us, the spit and the mud make a miracle. Here's 10 points about spit and mud. Number one, we have to realize that God's power is within us. Greater is he that is in me, John 4:4, than he that's in the world. That's a wonderful scripture, but let's back up because that's part B. It says you are of God, little children, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Of, O-F, that tiny little two-letter word means of the characteristic and nature of the source itself. So if I were to birth my children, they are of my DNA. If we are to come from the DNA of God through Christ, anything that God did, and Jesus brought heaven on earth, and he went to the cross and said, because I live all, you shall live also, and, dot, 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 greater work shall you do because I go to my Father. He didn't leave us without the ability. John chapter 17, I have a Bible that has 25 translations in it. And in that, I started reading John chapter 17, and I thought it was wrong. I thought, okay, they reprinted this wrong, or I'm reading it wrong. But I could not grasp what I felt like had to be biblical heresy. And I knew the Bible wasn't wrong, so my interpretation of it had to be wrong. And in John chapter 17, every translation I got said the same thing. Jesus was having this amazing conversation with his Father God. And in that conversation, he said, the works that you did, I did what you sent me to do. I'm completing my course. I'm about to go to the cross. The people that you gave me, I now am passing on. You gave them to me. I'm theirs. They're mine. We're yours. We're all in you. Blah, blah, blah. And it's fabulous. And to listen to the dissertation of Jesus as he's about to go to the cross, talking to his Father who's about to send him down the way of suffering, with 39 stripes on his back to be crucified, mocked, and dead. And he's having this awesome conversation about his Father, and the conversation twists. And he said, and the glory. Oh my. He said, and the glory, the power, the presence, and the absolute ability of God, the anointing of God that you gave to me, I now give to them. It says that. I thought that was wrong. How would God take that, entrust it to his son Jesus, and give it to human flesh? What was he thinking? Well, he said, not to everybody, just to those who are with us. And then Jesus said this statement, as long as I live on this earth, I will never forget this statement. He said, I don't pray for everybody, only those who are with us. How would you feel if Jesus looked you in the face and said, I'm not even going to bother praying for you? Oh my, may I always be in the crowd that Jesus prays for. But he said, in the glory, the power, and the presence of Almighty God. Then he could say, greater is he, because he sent us the Holy Spirit. It's better that I go, that when I leave this earth, I will not just be with you, but I'll send you the Holy Spirit that is now in you. Now greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Can now come forth, and you are of God, little children, and now greater works can you do because he went to the Father, and we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and all that power source now is a part of our life. And if we're going to waste our 20,000 words saying you're a jerk, how is God going to be the one to honor those words and give you that DNA spit mud miracle? Wow. We have to become accountable for what we want the net result to be. Listen, to me, have you ever played the game Monopoly? You can't put those tiny little houses in that tiny little red hotel on that tiny little Baltic and expect to get boardwalk rent. It doesn't work that way. You know what happens to get boardwalk rent? You got to go around the board and around the board and around the board, and you got to pass go a few times, and you got to collect your $200, and you got to land on community chest where you're not paying it out, but you're bringing it in. And then you keep going, then you get a railroad here, and then you get two railroads there. And if you're lucky, if you're blessed, and if you roll the dice enough double sixes, what are you going to get? You get to buy the electric company. It's a long journey sometimes. And we want to push a button and get a microwave miracle. And if we don't, we start calling God names. You forgot me. Oh, yeah, he who knows and sees everything forgot you. God, when are you going to do something about this? And Jesus said, isn't 39 stripes enough? So we have to be careful to get our perspective, not according to the world, but according to the word. Funny, Pastor was saying that today, and I said, funny you should say that. That's my message. The world, W-O-R-L-D, And the word, W-O-R-D, what's the difference? W-O-R-L-D and W-O-R-D, what's the difference? L. What in the L do you want that is so valuable to you that you're willing to give up the Word of God to get into the world? That L, let me tell you, what in the L do you want? That L can kill you. And you don't even know you're dead. It's the cruel kind of killing you. You don't get to be a body buried in the dirt. You're walking dead. And you know what they call the walking dead? A zombie. When we switch over from the word system into the world system, when we switch over from the kingdom system and get back into the system of Babylon, you are a walking zombie without the word of God, in my opinion. Number one, realize God's word, the power of God's word is in you. Number two, okay. Say, I love Lindsay, even though she's about to get ugly. Number two, watch what you feed your soul. What do you get when you squeeze a lemon? You get whatever it is that's on the inside. What do you get when you're squeezed? Whatever it is that you put on the inside, that is enough said. We're not going to go any further. Number three, bless the Lord. This is how you get the DNA of Jesus to become the spit plus the mud and equal a miracle. Number three, bless the Lord. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Do you realize that in my opinion, this is the hard part and the easy part? And our part is the easy part. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's got to repeat it. Sometimes I need a lot of repeating. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Not your neighbor who's got two ducks and a dog more than you do. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I will bless him at all times. His praise will be continuously in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I bless him and I praise him in all situations, not for them, but in the middle of them. And as I bless the Lord with my mind and my will and my emotions and all that is within me, he kicks in with his part, the hard part. And what is it? The hard part is work, not toil for God. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. This is getting good. And all we have to do is bless the Lord. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with such good things that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Face cream in a jar, right there. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's easy. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I see people, oh, bless God. And you know what they say? Oh, bless your heart. You know what they're really saying? Oh, you stupid idiot. Don't you dare waste a, oh, bless God and bless your heart, when in your heart and in your mind you mean, oh, you stupid fool. No. Begin to mean it. God, I pray that you bless that person. I may think they're a stupid idiot. I may think they're a stupid fool. But you know what? They're fearfully and wonderfully made in your image. And maybe if I begin to bless them enough, it'll stick. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So your day goes bad, bless the Lord. So you're cold, bless the Lord, because Sylvia Shirley's going to make me a scarf. Bless the Lord. She made the scarf before I ever got here and got cold. I got my $64 Target coat, and it is three sizes too big, but it's the only one they had. They had a triple X small, which I could have put my thigh into, and that didn't work. And so I got this, but it's gorgeous. Well, if Target made a provision for $64 before I got here and got cold, and Sylvia Shirley made a provision for me, I know her name is Sylvia, but I called her Shirley. But if she made a provision for me before I ever got cold, don't you think sending Jesus to the cross was enough? Can't we say bless the Lord because the provision is already there before you have a need of it? Number three, bless the Lord. Number four, here we go. Watch what you hear and say. Proverbs 4, 20 through 21. My son, give attention to my word. You know, if you're going to give attention to God's word, it's like Psalm 1:1, blessed is the one who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of the sinner. And like I said, I'm around ungodly sinners all the time. But he said, but your delight, I'm not going to watch those programs on television. You can't make me. You can't make me. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Why do I watch Hallmark? It's clean and it has a happy ending, for heaven's sake. And when I go to bed at night, I'm not going to sit up all night long thinking, oh, Jesus, protect me. I'm going to sit up at night and go, isn't that Candace Cameron Bure the cutest thing that ever walked on the earth? Because it brings something into my home that's peaceful, happy, and joyful. And if it's not, turn that rascal off. I will not put that stuff in my soul. You can't make me. People say, did you watch? I never even heard of it. No, I can't do it. Why? Now, I'm not being legalistic. I'm being protective. And if you can watch it and get that thing out of your mind and get it out, it's okay. That's your business, and I'm not going to stop you. But I know my limitations. And in my limitations, I'm happy with Hallmark. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Have you ever realized you listen to some of the goofiest things on planet Earth and believe them as to be true? So I was at a doctor's office for just a routine checkup. And you know, they tell you put your height on there. I do go over the 5 foot mark. Don't anybody mistake that. If I wrap my hair high enough and wear enough high heels, I go well over it. So I wrote on the chart, your height, 5'10". Is anybody here even close to 5'10"? Come here. Come here. Now, I'm not going to be weird, but anybody with two eyes and a medical degree ought to be able to see that I was lying.
Well, you're close.
I was close.
Yeah.
And you know what I put on there? I wrote the words by faith. Honest to God, I did. Thank you. That's what I wrote. I did. But the person reading my chart believed it. Should have put 6'4". What was I thinking? Sometimes we are what I would call gullible in our faith. Filter it through the Word of God. Let God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit before we react and respond. Let God's witness bear witness. Did you hear? Nope, not gonna. Well, you need to know this. Well, did God know it? And not let the things of the world cloud our precious faith into tampering with our faith, tainting our faith, making our faith toxic, which makes our faith to no avail. Which leads me to number 5. Well, let's finish Proverbs 4:20-21. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your ears. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. My son, give attention to my words. There we go. Incline your ears to my sayings. That's what you see and what you hear. Don't let them depart from your eyes. It's what you're looking at. Keep them in the midst of your heart. With the heart, man believes. That's a lot. But when you do that, they are life to those who find them. That's why Jesus said, get a life. Boom, there it is. And health to all your flesh. Listen, all you have to do is watch your eye gate, your ear gate, what you say, what you see, what you believe, and it's life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. Easy part's our part. God's part's a hard part. I had a friend of mine who is a preacher. And she was saying, the Lord said to her, she was going off on, delight yourself in the Lord, and he, real dramatic, he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you. And she said, the Lord spoke to her, said, say it again. And she thought, he's happy, I memorized that. She said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, you know my part real well. On that note, that's enough said. Number 5, use your faith. By faith, through faith, in faith. There's 4 times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, where the just shall live according to the faith that they stir up in their heart. The just shall live according to faith that comes by hearing the word of God. If faith for something comes by hearing the word of God, what comes by hearing something in contrary to the word of God? Fear, doubt, worry. Faith comes by hearing. Number 6. I'm going to say it the easiest way I can. Forget the past. Otherwise known as bury the ghost. Do you know what you get when you dig up old, dead, dry bones? You get old, dead, dry bones. Bury the ghost of the past. Number 7, use your words to declare your victory. whatsoever you desire, Mark 11. When you pray, believe. Speak, say, speak. Read that. Say to your mountain, speak this, say this, speak this, speak, say. You know, I think he wants us to speak and say. In Hebrews, if you look at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I was trying to study Hebrews one time, and I had studied it so much and read it so much that it fell out of my Bible. The entire book of Hebrews fell out of my Bible. And one day, my daughter came in, and she was just raised. She was about this high. She came running, and she had some pages, and she said, Mom, I found Hebrews in the playroom. Somehow, my book of Hebrews had ended up in the toy bin in the playroom because I had read it so much that it literally fell out of my Bible, but it didn't fall out of my heart. And in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, if you look at it, the Lord told me one day, get a highlighter. I didn't know the Lord used highlighters, but he does. So I got a highlighter, and the only one I had was blue. So if you look in my Bible, in the book of Hebrews that fell out of my Bible, I highlighted what the Lord told me. And if you look at Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. But it actually says, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Enoch, by faith the harlot Rahab. See, he didn't even care about that. As long as she had faith, he was going to work with her. God finds faith where he can find it. He cleans it up and he works with it. And don't anybody ever think that you can't bury that ghost, because you can. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And I think it's the 32nd verse. If you continue on down, it says, by faith, through faith, in faith, by faith, through faith, in faith. And you get about the 32nd verse and it says, what more shall I say? The just shall live by faith. And did you notice you saw their faith before you even saw their name? God's not near as concerned with our big name as he's concerned with our big faith. Number 7, declare your victory. Number 8, believe what God says. Well, I believe it, but. You know that comma gets in trouble every time? In English, when you put the conjunctions in there, and means go forth to the next rest of the sentence and you get both sides. But comma means you negate the first part of the sentence and you only get the second part. You literally wipe the first part of the sentence off the page. So I'd like to have served God, comma, but, comma, I was too short, I was too old, I was too poor, too beady, too bumpy, too leafy, too lumpy. You see, so what happens is all that English and God see in that was, I didn't do it. You see, oh, my intentions were good. The road to nowhere is paved with good intentions. So be careful where you put that comma. Make sure your comma is not after a but. But your comma is after an and. Make it a conjunction. I was going to serve God and I did it. Amen. Believe what God says and just go do it. You know, Nike has a thing that says, just go do it. You realize that's in the Old Testament. Yeah. It says, and just go do it. Yep. Number 9, put your faith into action. Faith without corresponding action is as good as dead, the Bible says. I am so excited that I'm gonna, coulda, shoulda, woulda, maybe, sorta. Do you realize if Jesus said that on the Via Dolorosa, we'd be nowhere? Make sure that your faith has corresponding actions. I have all the faith in the world, so I'm gonna sow my seed. And you get ready to sow it and think, but those boots are so cool. I knew a person that said that their daughter was now their tithe, and they weren't going to give to God anymore because basically their daughter was cuter than anything that somebody else could use the tithe for. And I thought, okay, don't sit next to me on an airplane. When you calculate and formulate your opinion and the traditions of man make the word of God to no effect, then your faith in the wrong way will have a corresponding action. Make sure that your faith lines up with the corresponding action that you want the results to be. Because if you want the corresponding action, I'm a studier. But if I wanted to go from first grade to second grade, I had to clear the books. If I wanted to go from second grade to fifth grade, I had to study to show myself approved, or the teacher would have said, Lindsay, you've got lovely faith, stay in third grade. So we have to do the work that God tells us, oh, well, I'm going to sit here and watch $20 bills float from heaven. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, maybe I need to rethink my theology. Because, see, my opinion doesn't change God's opinion. But when we line up our opinion with the Word of God, He can make it rain $20 bills. I'm not saying I've ever seen it, but I'm not going to limit God. God can bring me a scarf when I'm cold. God can do something God wants to do. But only if my faith is so lined up with the corresponding actions and I did what God told me to do, then His spit and my mud can become a miracle. But if all I've got is my spit and my mud, all I've got is dirt. I need His DNA, His Word of God, His ways of doing and being infused into me so that His DNA becomes so much my DNA, I decrease. As He increases, the spit and the mud become a miracle. And number 10, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. When I was pregnant, I expected a baby. If it was cold outside, it didn't matter. I was expecting a baby. If it was storming outside, it didn't matter. I was expecting a baby. If Richard was extra cute that day, it didn't matter. I was expecting a miracle. My expectation didn't change based on the under the circumstance stuff. And too many times we let what we hear, we let what we see, we let what we think, it come right in and fuse the middle of our expect a miracle till our miracle is so watered down you wouldn't know it if it hit you in the face, because it's not our miracle anymore. It's our opinion making the traditions of man, making the Word of God to no effect. I can be in a room where people are so negative and they start talking and I'll just go like this. And they'll say, don't you agree? And I will say, not on your life will that ever come out of my mouth. And then if it does, if stuff starts coming out of my mouth, my husband will say a couple of things to me. And the vast majority is down flesh. That's not pretty, but it's kind. It's effective. What if he went into agreement? What if he went into agreement with it? Seriously, what if he went into agreement with it? The kindest thing he can do is say, zip it, down flesh. Listen, one day I went to Walmart and I bought myself some duct tape. I won't recommend this, and I don't think it was the wisest thing I ever did, but I sat right smack in front of me. And I said to that duct tape, listen here, when my mouth is out of line with the Word of God, you're my new best friend. And I was going to peel that rascal off and put it on my mouth and shut it up. And I have actually done that before. Because if the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are not acceptable, God can never be my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be a delight in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He cannot be my strength and my redeemer till the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart become a delight in his sight. And the only way is to delight yourself in the Word of God. No questions asked. Can you sit in a room with sinners? Absolutely. Doesn't mean I have to go in agreement with it. What do you think about that television program? It's on TV. But if you think I'm watching it, you can't make me. We talked about the kingdom of God as God's system. And first we live in the garden and then, you know, got kicked out of the garden. And then you've got Canaan, land flowing with milk and honey, got kicked out of that. And then Jesus came to give us heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth equal to how it's done in heaven. With the same substance and with the same things that God used in heaven, even like in Philippians 4:19, you know, my God shall supply all your needs according to who's in the White House, doesn't exist. It's not according to the book of opinion in the Bible, because that doesn't exist. But it's according to the standard unit of measure of his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And with that same standard unit of measure, he brought that into the earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on this earth, because Jesus came to the earth bringing kingdom principles into the earth. And now we don't have to live in the system of unit of Babylon. We can switch over to kingdom living. And I'm sorry, I will love you, I will pray for you, but I don't give a royal rip what you say if I prosper and that makes you mad. I used to care. I used to cry. I used to hide. I used to be trembling when somebody, oh, look at your new car. My dad was a car dealer. Shut it. I mean, they didn't care if my dad gave a new car, But they cared if I was married to a pastor with a new car. And I decided that those people hate my royal guts anyway. So tomorrow they're going to be mad that my new car didn't become two new cars, or my two new cars didn't become a dump truck. I mean, you're never going to please the world, so stop making that Babylonian system your standard unit of measure. Money is the medium of exchange for goods and services, and in the kingdom of God, faith is the medium of exchange for what you're believing God for. So by faith, through faith, in faith, if I use that medium of exchange in God's kingdom, I am off of the world system and onto the word system. I no longer have W-O-R-L-D. I have W-O-R-D. What in the L do you want? Nothing. I'm in this world, but I am not of it. I am of God, little children. I'm of the kingdom of God. I'm not of the Babylonian system. I'm of the kingdom of God system. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if you don't like it, there's a couple of things we can do. We can agree to disagree, or you can get on my side, or you can keep your opinion, but you're not taking me to hell with you. I won't go, and you can't make me. In the Babylonian system, the world system, they say, have it your way. In the kingdom system, Jesus said, I am the way. In the Babylonian system, they say, do your own thing. God's system says, do unto others. They say politically correct. I say biblically sound. They say Dow Jones. I say biblical economics. They say, give me a break. God's word says, given it shall be given unto you. They say, bow down. And God said, I bowed on my knees and cried holy. They say, you're going to have a breakdown. God said, why not have a breakthrough? They say, hell yes. I said, yes, there is a hell, and you don't want to go there. They say, get a life. I say, look to the one who laid down his life for you. They say, heaven can wait. I say, no, it can't. They say, it's cool. I say, it's written. They say, get a grip. I say, get thee behind me, Satan. You will not prevail. They may say, I'm going to crown you. My God said, you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on your side. It is time for us to get off of Babylon system, W-O-R-L-D, get onto kingdom system, W-O-R-D, get the L out of your life, and not worry what they say. I am moved by what God said, and every time I've been moved by what people said, I am sorely and completely disappointed. I'm hurt, I cry, I'm wounded, and about a bajillion other things. But when I go to my Father God, and he says to me, well done, my good and faithful servant, that's good enough. And if it's not, I'll get back into the word until it's good enough. Because I want kingdom thinking. I want kingdom principles. I want kingdom healing. I want kingdom believing. I want kingdom success. I want kingdom finances. I actually want the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to dictate, rule, and reign in my life. And the only way to do that is take the L out of my life. Get off the world system. Get off the Babylonian system, whether it's talking, finance, whatever. And what is the Babylonian system? It's from the Tower of Babel. What was the Tower of Babel? They used their words to build a tower against God. But do you know what the word Babel actually translates? Confusion. I'm tired of confusion in my life. I've had it. I was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago, stage 4, and it was not pretty. It was thyroid cancer, and it threw me so far for a loop that when they told me on the phone what it was, I buckled my knees and hit the floor. And my husband went out, and he was so spiritual. He went to a toy store and bought me a little yellow rubber duck. I am so not kidding. He said, Lindsay Roberts, you are not a sitting duck waiting for the shoe to fall. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Anything and everything you have need of comes to you. Don't you dare act like a sitting duck. I got off of the what in the L do you want? I'll tell you what. I wanted the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to back me in my belief that I'm going to be here today preaching to you in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, all these years later, and woo, here I am. If the proof is in the pudding, I'm the pudding. Off of the world system, onto God's system. Stop using your spit and mud to make your own miracle. Allow the DNA of God, the spit, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, to take who we are made of as the dirt and the dust of the earth and create his miracle signs and wonders exceedingly abundantly far above anything we dare ask or think. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this room. Father God, whatever it is that they're going through, anything and everything they have need of, as they switch over from what in the world do you want to get into the Word of God, Lord, you promised, your Word is your promise, and you said, I swear by myself because there's no higher power to swear by. I promised, God said, I promise. Every promise in the Word is true. It's yes and amen. That means so let it be written, so let it be established. Father God, today, in the name of Jesus, we establish your will. We establish your word. Your will is for healing and wholeness and prosperity and wellness and victory. And your word says we're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. We didn't come to fall in. We're not under the circumstances. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're not a sitting duck waiting for the other shoe to drop. We are of God, little children. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And now we take that DNA and we walk it out every day of our lives. Now, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that is not from God, I want you to do me a favor. Look up here. I want you to take your hand and do something like this. Say, bye-bye, devil. Bye-bye, Satan. Bye-bye, devil. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Get thee behind me, Satan. You will not prevail. I am not walking in fear. I'm walking in faith. You do not control me. You do not rule me. My God rules and reigns in my heart, in my life, and I'm going to walk it out every day of my life. I'm not moved by what they said. I'm moved by what he said. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what the Word of God said. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I am going to live inside out. And I want to commission you today and decree over you today, live from the inside out. My grandfather, I told you yesterday, lived to be 90. My great-grandfather, 97 years old, had his own teeth, had his own hair, had his own hearing, his own sight. And he would say, every day is a better day. Every day is a better day. Every day is a better day in every way. That's what he would say. He was living from the inside out. When he got ready to go to heaven, he just went to heaven. He wasn't forced to go. He chose to go. He didn't die shriveling up sick as a dog. He just said, whoop, ready to go. And he did. Because he made a conscious effort to live from the inside out. I'm getting better every day in every way, and you can't stop me, devil. My needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Devil, you mess with my finances, then I'm believing God not only for 30, 60, and 100-fold. I'll just believe God for 1,000 times more so that I can sow more seed, reap more harvest, and see more souls come into the kingdom. Take that, devil, in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to say, I am living from the inside out, the inside out, the inside out. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen.